We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Danny Cannell, he grew up here in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale. He made the unfortunate choice to go to FSU, but he did pretty well for himself there, so much as it pains you and I.
What would we have done at a real school? That's the question.
I know. You wonder, right? Man. You wonder. And then went on to play almost a decade at quarterback in the NFL. And you can hear him on Sirius XM. You see him on CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ, CBS Sports Network. And his FSU Seminoles chickened out against Clemson over the weekend.
Oh,
but that's a whole nother story.
You ride with Dabo, huh?
That's a whole nother story.
What is going on? See, first of all, the Gators dodged us because they didn't want that heat because they went conference only. We were dying to play that rivalry game. Then Clemson doesn't want that smoke. They tried to dodge us. They come to Tallahassee with a plane full of sick dudes trying to play us, so we're not going to do that. No one wants to beat this year. What the heck?
Interesting. I didn't hear you mention UM there at all about wanting to avoid smoke or rivalry game. Am I missing something?
No. You guys took out our coach. If we would have had our coach on the sideline, then that score would have been flip-flopped. We got all the excuses down, baby.
Danny Cannell. All right, so we've talked about this for 2 hours and 23 minutes now. You played quarterback in the NFL. Crowder and I, we both hated the decision that Brian Flores made yesterday to take Tua out. What is your opinion? He's got a 10-point deficit. There's 14 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and he yanks Tua and goes to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I think it's complicated because, yes, in a vacuum, I hate taking a young quarterback out there, potentially, you know, hurting his confidence, you know, undermining the backing that you've given him, handed him the reins to the team. It can kind of interfere with there. And even within that locker room, I guarantee you, in every locker room I've been in, when there's even any sliver of a doubt who the starting guy is, then factions start to grow in the locker room. It's okay. It's not a horrible situation that could unfold, but you might have certain linemen that say, hey, man, I like Tua. He's a little bit, you know, more of this, willing to do this type of throw, or he doesn't hold on to the ball quite as long, doesn't turn it over. And other guys might say, well, man, Fitz was had us winning. Like, you just have little factions that can start to develop, which isn't healthy. And so when you make a decision like that, that can kind of exacerbate some of those issues. I don't think it's a major flaw, but the reason I said it's in a vacuum is I do think, and this has been my biggest concern about Tua, it's not about his ability to make any of the throws, not about his leadership capabilities, it is his health. And I wasn't super pumped that he was on the injury report the week leading into the game against Denver. And then we all saw that nasty hit he had taken. You know, I wonder if this is somewhat of the coaching staff protecting a quarterback who has a long history of injury. So, and I know the staff is going to say everything. Hey, this was, you know, performance related. We wanted to get Fitz out there because they don't want to bring any alarm to any potential injury issues out there with Tua either. So I do think it's a very complex situation. And also you got a team who's fighting for the playoffs, you know, like, so at some point you got to say, well, hey, you know, our young quarterback struggling, maybe we can just create a spark and he can get hot, which clearly didn't happen when Fitzpatrick came in the game. But it's one of those ones where I love what Brian Flores has done, the way he's handled almost every situation he's been dealt, where you kind of have to trust the coach's decision in this spot.
And Danny, you brought up confidence, man. And it's something, you know, at high school levels, college levels, I can kind of understand. But once you're in NFL, once you're a grown-ass man getting paid to play this game, like that confidence thing, like what does it mean? You're supposed to go out there and you're supposed to do your job, read the defense, make the right throw. Like, do quarterbacks really get their confidence taken if they get pulled for a quarter or two?
I think, Channing, young quarterbacks can. I don't think Tua falls into that category. I think Tua has been a competitor. He had to fight and earn to win his job at Alabama. I just don't think he's that. Like a scrub like me, a fourth rounder who was trying to fight and make the team and, you know, was kind of given the starting job and then had to keep on to it. When I got benched, you know, it was, man, like I got a little bit tentative. Maybe was a little bit more cautious with the football and maybe didn't, you know, stretch the field when I could have. But I think when you've got the backing of a fifth overall pick and you've got a contract that shows the commitment the team has in you, I don't think that'll be an issue. But I do feel like a large part of playing the quarterback position successfully is the mental game, is having that mental edge, that belief in yourself. But also the team has to have belief in you. If the team loses an ounce of confidence in you, that can make just, again, it goes to that undermining of, hey, this is our guy. If there's any doubt in who your guy is, just creates a little bit of doubt in situations you might face again when you're in the fourth quarter and maybe you're down 10 points because Tua's thrown a couple touchdowns, which is inevitably going to happen at some time. Like, is the team going to be like, oh, what are they going to do? Are we going to see fits? You know, what's going to happen here? It just creates that little bit of doubt in everybody's mind, not just the quarterbacks.
Danny Cannell is with us. That's part of the problem that I had was, you know, I understand taking out a starting quarterback when they're maybe embarrassing themselves, right? And you right. do it for their own sanity, right? They've thrown three picks. They thrown for 14 yards in three quarters, and you want to have mercy on them. You know, it was a 10-point deficit. It wasn't like, again, statistically, he wasn't lighting it up. And he was holding on the ball right. too long. There's no question about it. He wasn't looking to scramble. He looked tentative back there. But still, it wasn't an insurmountable lead. And I was saying earlier in the show, like, I can't think of a starting quarterback in the NFL, an entrenched starting quarterback, someone who has been given the keys to a franchise, right? So from Joe Burrow to Patrick Mahomes, to Aaron Rodgers, the whole litany, no one gets pulled down 10 points in the fourth quarter. It's only two scores. You haven't thrown an interception. You haven't embarrassed yourself. And you just recently were handed the keys to the franchise. I just thought it was as quizzical a move as a head coach can make. I have such a tough time with it. He wasn't embarrassing himself out there.
I agree, and you're right. I would say even if Taysom Hill, who actually played pretty good for the Saints, if he had been in the same situation, Sean Payton would have said, no, we're rolling with our guy. Like, that's usually what you do is you're starting quarterback. You're not down that far. It's, again, I totally agree with everything you've said. But I'm curious to get your guys' take because I think it is bigger than just the game. Do you think any of it was injury related?
No. And the only reason that I say no is because it would be such an easy way to prevent all this hoo-ha if Brian Flores said, you know what, he didn't say that he was injured, but we saw him tweak the ankle a little bit and we want to be super extra cautious when it comes to Tua, and it would alleviate any of this stuff that's now festering. And I said to Crowder earlier too.
What would you rather have? A couple of guys on the radio speculating about, oh, how could you bench him in that position? Or a much bigger issue of, is this going to be a long-term issue? Is Tua able? Because that's always, again, that goes back to the bigger concern. Like, we're talking about confidence. He'll be fine. Tua will bounce back. But if you did have another injury crop up that is significant or even not significant, let's just say it's a tweaked ankle where he might miss a week or two or impacts his play for a week or two, that to me is the bigger storyline. I think there would be just as many people saying, oh, I can't believe it. Maybe we should have taken Herbert. You know, maybe we should have done this. That's where I'm a little bit more into the conspiracy of they were doing it because maybe it was something bigger that they were trying to protect him health-wise. because
you could so easily
way more sense.
But you could so easily put that on the offensive line and take any of the onus off Tua there. And if he didn't do that, you know, I said to Crowder, like, you could say the offensive line was playing so poorly and we saw his ankle get rolled a little bit. We wanted to be extra cautious. And so, okay, you've got the little acknowledgement of maybe there was an injury, but also you're putting all the onus of it on the offensive line. This was pretty flat out clear. We took him out because of performance. We thought Ryan Fitzpatrick gave us a better chance to win in that situation. And I just, that's why I don't believe there was a conspiracy, because the conspiracy would lead me to believe it's an easier out if you say it was the offensive line's problem. And because we thought that he tweaked his ankle a little bit, we wanted to be extra cautious.
Well, see, now this is runs into the problem that when you inserted him as the starter, when you did, which I would think was probably, what do you think, 3 or 4 weeks before anybody thought, or kind of the old school, the old way of thinking is, well, when the team's out of the playoff race, then you make the change at quarterback. Well, this maybe is the issue with when you make the change when you did, which was right when, you know, when the team was still statistically in the hunt, then they rattle off a couple wins in a row, and now all of a sudden they're in the playoffs, and you're realizing, man, well, we have a real chance of making the playoffs here. What is our best chance of making us win? So maybe we have to try to do that in a situation like that. But I agree with you. I did not like the decision. If it's flat out based on performance, I think it was the wrong way, because you would let every single quarterback in the NFL play their way through that game if you're only down 10 in that spot, unless you have zero confidence in that quarterback. And I don't think that's the case with Tua. I think the team is love. Everything you've heard up to this point has been spectacular, glowing reviews. Why would that game be that much different?
And Danny, the old saying, the eye in the sky don't lie. The film, you got to watch the film. And I kept telling people, now these defensive coordinators are getting more and more film on Tua, his strengths and his weaknesses. I remember later in my career, they started putting tight ends over there by me, Danny, because I struggled a little bit with covering the tight ends, especially the quick ones. So, like, what to ask you, you know, playing in the league for a long time, like, as a young quarterback, what are these DCs, what do they see? Not just in Tua, but just in young quarterbacks with the transition. What do they see? What do they try to throw at Tua? Because I saw a lot of four-man rushes. I saw a lot of combo coverages. I saw a lot of two deep. I saw a lot of different things that the Broncos threw at Tua that I didn't see the other teams throw at him.
Well, I think earlier in my career, I saw this a lot, and it would be the same for Tua early in his career. And Vic Fangio, being a defensive-minded coach, would have the same approach. You are going to try to confuse a young quarterback by giving him different looks that you just mentioned. I'll never forget, my last start in the NFL was on Monday Night Football, and it was against the New England Patriots. I was on the Denver Broncos, and it was Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. This was back in like 2004. This was a long, long time ago. And I was playing in that game, and I remember going into it, Gary Kubiak was our offensive coordinator, and he said, look, you're going to go back and you're going to study film, probably five games, what you usually do. You kind of watch those four previous games, you get a beat for what they're doing defensively. He said, but you're not going to recognize anything you see on Monday night. You're just going to see new looks. He is going to throw a curveball at you throughout the game. And sure enough, first quarter, I come over after the first couple drives and breaking the plays down with Mike Shanahan and Gary Kubiak, and we were seeing some certain looks, and we're like, whoa, where did these come from? We're like, oh, we hadn't seen those. And he hadn't shown them all that year, but he'd shown them the previous year. I think it's just in another example. When I was anytime I came in as a backup, Steve DeBerg was my quarterback coach. He'd say, hey, be ready for pressure. They're going to test you to see where you know, if you know where to go with the football. I think all of those things are what Tua is going to start seeing more and more of, are more exotic looks and more blitzes. Because as a young quarterback, that's where you're a little bit shaky. Like, everybody knows the progressions by this time in his career. Hey, where do I go with the football first? Where second? Where third? Where you might not be as buttoned up is versus pressure, different blitzes. So they're going to start testing his knowledge of the blitz packages. And then, you know, like you were saying, if you can get pressure with four, that is the biggest hassle. That's the biggest problem that you face. And they were getting pressure with four with the Denver. So you've got to clean up some of those offensive line issues that are there. And then, you know, even if you don't get pressure with four, if you're just bringing four, you're mixing up coverages on the back end. And in college, you maybe face four or five coverages that you kind of have to know. In the NFL, it's, you know, close to 11, 12, 13, you know, on a weekly basis, where you just have to go much deeper in your knowledge of where are they rolling these safeties? What kind of brackets are they doing? It's just, it's like going from you know, basic math in college to all of a sudden you're in trigonometry trying to figure out things. And it's a process. It takes time, and that's going to be no different with Tua.
So we blame Nick Saban. It's Nick Saban's fault for not teaching him. I like the way you think, Connell. I like the way you think. I've got a whole new take on this situation. More hatred for Nick Saban. All right, Danny Connell, former NFL quarterback and a star of the cowardly FSU Seminoles when back in the day.
You're going hard today, Hawk. Damn, I feel bad.
You watch out next year. You watch out next year. We're taking everybody down. Taking names right now.
Thanks for making time for us, Danny.
All right, fellas. Great catching up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.